Our life is full of lots of opposites, and I think at Christmas time, those opposites really become glaringly obvious to a lot of us. Such things as we talk about the joy and the peace of Christmas, yet it seems very often it's the opposite that happens. It's chaos and stressful and all of the other things that seem to be competing with each other. It probably always has been in human nature and in the history of mankind, and the growth and the development of the church and our faith is also part of what is quite natural, I think, the struggle that often takes place between the opposites in our life. Today we have the very famous visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. Now, if I looked at this story as Luke presents it, it too is full of the opposites. And then so we delve a little bit further and we try to find why is this story put in there at that particular place in the gospel. Luke is very particular to make sure that he connects his history with faith. He's very particular to make sure that he connects the spiritual or the heavenly with the earthly. I say that because he has identified two figures today: Elizabeth, who represents the Old Testament, who represents the original law. And then we have Mary, who in today not only represents obedience and trust, but she represents the entry of the new law. And the bridge between the old and the new are the children that these women are carrying. Elizabeth is carrying John the Baptist, and Mary is carrying the Son of God, born as an infant in poverty and in weakness. The opposites again to become powerful, most powerful figure in the history of mankind. So Luke uses these two figures, and his original audience would have known the role that these women were playing. So at Christmas time, we look at the opposites that are there, and we can look at this gospel, if you like, the visitation, and we try to use it as a key to unlock our role in the Christmas event. Christmas isn't just the 25th of December. Christmas is an event. Christ's birth is an event that needs to be celebrated and lived every day of our life, not just on a public holiday. So how do we do that? It's pretty challenging, I think. So for me, I see Christmas in really four ways, and I'll just give them to you this morning for whatever they're worth. Firstly, I would say there is the consumer Christmas. And many priests and deacons have preached over the centuries about the consumerism that is involved in celebrating the Christmas event. And it's okay to do that to a degree. But it's not all negative, because it is through consumerism that many people purchase gifts and they become generous to other people. They give to other people. I suppose the problem is when the consumerism gets so out of balance because of the bombardment of advertising and what we're told we need in our life. Or your life is deficient because you don't have that. That's the sort of consumerism I'm talking about. Because there are positive elements. It creates employment. It creates an economy where people can afford to be generous. And those things come to the fore at Christmas. So it's not all negative. But I think at the end of the day, when we talk about a consumer Christmas, it's empty. It doesn't fill the gap that is in us as human beings. So we move on to what I would call the second layer of Christmas, or the second way of looking at Christmas. And for the older people here, not the young ones, they won't know what I'm talking about, I don't think. But if I call the second layer of Christmas the Charles Dickens Christmas, you'll know what I'm talking about. Charles Dickens painted Christmas. Some people actually say that Charles Dickens invented Christmas as we know it. It's a pretty sad thing to say in one sense. But Charles Dickens painted an image of Christmas that was of snow and horses pulling sleds through the snow and families coming together around a fire with chestnuts and lots of presents and pudding and eggnog and all of the things that you see on so many Christmas cards these days. It's a picture of the big coming together and fattening Christmas, if you like. Now, once again, there is goodness in that because families coming together, it's part of the gospel today. It's the visitation. People go out and they visit. So that's all good. But it's about getting that balance again. And the problem with the Charles Dickens Christmas, as I see it, is that once Christmas is over, things just tend to go back the way they were. You know, it's a nice day, and after we've had the big Christmas afternoon snooze and the usual family brawls that often happen, things just tend to fall back to the pattern that they were before. So it doesn't last very often in most families. So remember, I said I'm trying to get all of us to find what is our role in Christmas. The third layer of Christmas that I would look at is what I'm going to call the Nativity Christmas. And don't take offence, mums and dads. The Nativity Christmas is the one where the school play gets put together and they do the nativity scene. And every child gets put on a set of wings and becomes an angel or Joseph. And everyone's got a role. What did I hear this morning? What is it? In the movie Love Actually, I'm playing the third lobster. So it's kind of cute and it gets families to come in and everybody gets a part in it. But once again, it misses, in a sense, the essence of what Christmas is. It's a role play, but it doesn't hit the reality of what it is. And it's a lovely thing to do for communities to come together. And we're going to be doing exactly that tomorrow night with our children. We're going to role play at 6 o'clock. The nativity scene. But it's not going to be hollow because it is in the centrepiece of a faith community around this altar where we are fed and nurtured by the body of Christ, the symbol of who will be in that little crib. So it has a relevance, but let's just keep it in proportion. So the fourth layer of Christmas that I'm going to refer to is, and there's no avoiding it, it is the spiritual layer of Christmas, the spiritual dimension. I've talked about the consumerism and the good and the bad with that. I've talked about Charles Dickens and the good and the bad, and I've talked about the crib Christmas, I'm calling it, which has got the good and the not so good in it. But the spiritual element of Christmas is one which is a non-negotiable. It is only good because it is ultimately about the Son of God being given to us as an infant child in weakness and in poverty to remind us of our eternal destiny. That's what Christmas is. That's why we celebrate it. To remind us of our eternal destiny. So the first three layers that I mentioned just there, they really refer to, I think, what I would call the material sides of Christmas. And the fourth side of Christmas, the spiritual, well, there's no escaping it. Whilst the material has a place to play, make sure that we keep it in balance. It's very difficult sometimes to find Christ in the consumerism, in the Charles Dickens, and in the crib Christmas. And for some of us, it's difficult to find the spiritual element of Christ, to Christ in the spiritual element. It's very difficult at Christmas as well, because the other three sometimes just take over and wear us down. But the material can lead to good works, but the spiritual, it is good work. So we need to, I think, at Christmas, try to regain that if we can. It's a bit of a struggle. So Christianity, as I look at it, from the birth of Christ a child, Christianity is made up of both the material and the spiritual. That's why Jesus was born as a man. Material and spiritual, that which we can touch, and that which we can imagine, if you like. So it's the relationship between these two, the material, those three elements that I talked about at Christmas, and the spiritual, that I think we need to sort of get in touch with at Christmas. And then more so than that, to find out what is my role in that relationship? What part do I play? And what part do I live out truthfully in that relationship between the material and the spiritual? Christmas allows us a chance to do that. Other times in the year we get caught up in other things, but Christmas we can focus on our role in balancing the material and discovering the spiritual. So at this time, I would just ask us all to contemplate the opposites that exist in Christmas. There is, of course, the sacred, but there is the secular. There's the soul of Christmas, and then there's the body of Christmas, the material of Christmas. There's the divine, and there's the human. So those opposites exist in this major feast time. And once again, I say, what is our individual and collective role in bringing the sacred into the secular? What is my role in helping people discover their soul, not just their body? And what is my role in searching and finding the divine whilst living with the human?